Church, it is great to see you this morning. It's great to be with you. Thank you very much for being a part of our forever family here at Azalea City. It is exciting that more and more are getting their vaccines and they are able to get back with us. I've heard word of a few more that this month will be coming back, and I cannot wait. But if you are still not able to do that or are not comfortable being with us, please know that we are thankful that you have tuned in to our live stream and continue to do that. I do want to say to those who are over our multimedia, they are behind-the-scenes people and they do not like attention anyhow. Because I say they're behind-the-scenes because you can't see them, but I can up there. But pat those guys on the back. They have worked really hard throughout this last year to get things going on our live stream. We've upgraded cameras. Yesterday they were installing the new camera. Hopefully those who are watching at home can already tell. I kind of like the old one better because you couldn't see me as well. But nonetheless, they worked really hard on that. And then also, if you are at home and you need to come and you don't feel like you can be and you just want to be a part, we can do it where we can broadcast it now in the foyer on that TV that is in there. There's a lot of great things, and those guys work hard. So thank you to all of our multimedia team who have been working hard on that. I do want you to add two names to your prayer list, and I apologize that I do not know this young man's name. We mentioned it in class, but we call him Bop at Mobile Christian. Bop, a very tragic story. His father was murdered just this weekend. And so, very sad situation. Sixth grader, I believe, at Mobile Christian. So please remember their family, Bop's family, in your prayers. And then also Ben Brewer, who is a young man that plays for Jason and them in baseball. He plays for us in football, starter in both sports. His mother passed away early Thursday morning. And so a lot of our families at Mobile Christian are hurting. And so if you will remember them in your prayers. Last week I started a series of lessons, and I'm not sure how long my series will go because I do think this is a very important topic. We can be devoted to God, right? That is our desire. That is our mission. We talked about Genesis 3 last week, Genesis 1, 2, and then up to 3. Where God's creation is greatest of all creation, mankind, they were devoted to God. They were devoted to one another as God joined them together, but then very soon Satan distracted them. And we talked about that in detail last week. We'll reference it again in just a moment. But as they were distracted, it caused a whole, you think that we're in a pandemic now, think about what sin coming into this world did. It changed the whole outcome of life. It changed the whole the way man was going to live. It changed now that man is going to die, and Jesus Christ, God's scheme of redemption, had to come into existence. And so with that, though, it gets us to the point that we want to desire ourselves. Our desire should be that no matter what, we want to be devoted. One thing that can really distract us or help devote us to God even better, that is our relationships. The relationship of husband and wife. The relationship of spouses, parents to their children. The relationship of best friends. The relationships in our youth group. The relationships in our JYG, in our children's ministry, in our outdoor Bible. We could go on and on. Relationships are all around us. God created us. He made us to be relationship-driven people. In fact, if you look at the word religion, in the middle of the word religion is the small word or three letters that you join together, lig, L-I-G. And if you think about it, it is the same thought process in the word ligament. Okay, there's that L-I-G again. What do ligaments do? They help hold the bones together, help hold those joints together. Well, our relationships, if you think of that lig word, they are what help us stay together. They help us form better bonds. They, in fact, it's been said that if a new couple will meet about four families and befriend about four families as they visit a church, they'll never leave. You know why? Because they've bonded together and they feel like that church family is now part of them and they are part of that. So if we've got people that haven't been able to do that yet, or we recognize people that haven't, we need to go to them. We need to strengthen them. We need to encourage them. Through our relationships, through our religion, if we will, we are joined to God. Just like those ligaments help join us together, we are joined to God, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. So with that, you think about, I told you I'd mention this again, Adam and Eve, they were joined to God. They were devoted, right? But along the way, they lost a lot of that. Remember, it was all those generations later that Enosh is born to them, and that's when it finally says, and men finally started calling on the name of the Lord. So did Adam and Eve lose that? I have no idea for sure, but certainly it appears that way. And you know, we know Cain struggled with it. And so when it comes down to it, we need to understand that our relationships matter. And we need to grow our relationships. Of course, our first and greatest relationship is that to Jesus Christ. If you will, turn to what Theo read to us a moment ago, Matthew chapter 22. I want to go through that again, verses 34 through 40. We know these, whether it's the New King James or the ESV that he read from, they remind that us that these are the first and great commandments. In fact, we sing a song, don't we? The greatest commands. That mindset is so important and valuable to us because these commands are critical for us to understand the importance of being devoted to God in our relationship to Him and in our relationship to others. Here's what is asked and said. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them asked Him a question, testing Him and saying, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Now, don't you just, and the teacher friends of mine in here, understand that sometimes we have students that ask questions and they do it in a smart aleck kind of way, right? Well, I believe this guy's being that way, okay? He's just trying to get under the great teacher's skin. Now, I've often had students get under my skin, and they've known it pretty quickly when I was teaching in the 10 years I was a Mobile Christian. But Jesus is in control. He's completely in control. And so when they ask Him this question, He knows. He knows what they're doing, but this is what He said. What an answer. He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. It really is all about love. It's about loving God with everything we've got. And then loving our neighbor as ourself. It's about love. It's about growing in our relationship to God and growing in our relationship to one another. Now, hear me out on this. If we are truly going to love the way Jesus laid out to that lawyer and all his friends, if we're truly going to love that way, then we must be devoted. Justin and I, we get to counsel as part of our ministry. And sometimes we can look back and we rejoice. Now, we don't, about a confidentiality, we don't share what we counsel with and all that. But sometimes we might know we're counseling with somebody and we come out with smiles on our faces. Why? Because things went well. But then there are other times when they don't. You know, and why that is hard is because we both have in our personality, we want to fix things, right? We want to help people. And so with that, sometimes you just can't help them. You know why? You know why you can't always help a husband and wife's marriage? Because they're distracted. They're distracted because they have taken their elevation. And don't you love in this elevate? Here, and the way it was described, there's a valley, right, we're in, but then we Christ elevates us above it all. And so that's really cool to me. But sometimes they get in those valleys, right, and they can't get out. Why? Because they took their eyes, as Bill pointed out, off of Jesus Christ. Jesus said this, if you want to grow your love and you want to grow your relationship with God and one another, then you must be devoted. Now, he didn't exactly say it that way, but that's what he's intending. Love God with everything you've got. That love has to be first. It's got to be, that's why it's the first and great commandment. But then the second's very similar to it. It's very much like it. We've got to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, here's the problem. That probably wouldn't be hard to do if we're in the Garden of Eden and we didn't eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But Adam and Eve fouled it up, and we've been fouling it up ever since. Satan slithers his way into our lives. He may have even slithered his way into your life this morning. You might think, hey, I'm devoted, I'm worshiping, but your mind is about a million other places. It happens, right? I have attention deficit disorder. I know, I get it. It happens. We get distracted, sometimes that quickly. But I'm asking you right now, just for the next few moments, to really lock in on what we're going to read today. And let's devote ourselves to our relationship, our love relationship with God, and our love relationship with one another. Why do I think this sermon's important? Because it's been almost a year since we've been able to have the kind of relationships with one another we want to have. And so as this pandemic, we get these vaccinations and you know, it feels good to give hugs. I'm vaccinated. And it feels good. It really does. But we've really got to tune in to people's needs, to our need of God. And our need of relationship. The devil will want nothing more than for us to go inside, close our doors, and never come out again. Take our eyes off Jesus Christ and our eyes off each other, and to never, ever have any type of relationship again. But we can't do that. In fact, it's very important that we understand what Jesus said in John 13. Listen to this. Verse 31, so when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. That's what we're here to do, right, is bring glory. That word, if it didn't catch your attention, we fell asleep for a moment. Little children, verse 33. I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, hear this, a new commandment. Boy, that ought to get their attention. They knew about the Ten Commandments, right? So this may be 11 in their minds. Obviously, we know it's different, but they're thinking, a new commandment. We're going to have a new set of law. You know, there are probably a lot of light bulbs and things going out, but Jesus says this, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that is a big commandment. Really, really big. That you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know what's going to keep this church building whole? Now, let me say this church hole. I'm going to go here, and I just accidentally said the word building. Okay, we're the church. But this building, what keeps it whole? Well, there's probably a lot of things. It's got a great foundation, right, and all that. But for my illustration's sake, and y'all don't pick me apart later, you builders out there, you master builders, okay? But we have bricks. This is a brick building. And bricks, you know the big bad wolf, right? He's gonna huff and puff, and the one with straw and the one with sticks, he blew it down, but he couldn't blow that brick house down. Well, this building, if you think about it, it's got brick. But if the brick didn't have mortar, those bricks would just fall down. So really, when I think about it, and mortar's something you don't think a lot about. By the way, go build a house and the builders say, hey, what color mortar you want? How many colors are there? Bunches. Okay? But you just think about it. Mortar sometimes is not something we think about a lot. But it's that mortar inside those bricks that keeps this building standing. Well, guess what love is? Love is the mortar that's going to keep this church standing. It's going to keep this church growing. And if we do not have that love that Jesus talked about, our relationships will crumble. So what do? The church has obviously been in existence for about 2,000 years, right? But for the last year, even though we've done our best here to bring services and be together and things are looking up and getting better, it almost seems like we have shut down. Now, there's things going on. I don't want to say they're not. They always have been. But let's just say, if we were going to start back up, where do we need to go? To where the church started. Turn in your Bibles, if you will, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. It's time to get connected. It's time to build our relationship with God, build our relationship with one another, not lose focus, not get distracted, elevate what we need to elevate so we can be devoted. In Acts 2, before I get into it and read it, verses 40 through 47, let me remind you of a few things. First of all, they were connected like no other. The bond that is going on in Acts chapter 2 is a bond that is just mind-blowing, and it's also so encouraging. They understood what it was like to be saved. You know why? Because before Peter's sermon in Acts 2, they weren't saved. Before they went down in the water and were immersed, 3,000 of them. Oh, and by the way, that day they didn't worry about what time they were getting out. Ha, 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 ha. But how much time did it take to baptize 3,000 people? A lot. 3,000 of them were immersed into Jesus Christ that day. And as that church is growing, they knew before that sermon, before that baptism, they knew what it's like to be lost. Peter told them, "You killed Jesus." They loved, at least at that moment, right? They loved the Lord with all they had. They were devoted. I'm going to prove that to you in just a moment. They were devoted, and they also loved their neighbor as themselves. They're getting it. Why was the church growing? Not because Peter was a dynamic preacher. Listen, I know the Holy Spirit was speaking through him. But that man was a fisherman. Who says he was the best preacher in the world? They were devoted because of the message. Because of who was behind the message. And that's Jesus Christ. They understood that to be connected in relationship with one another, you know what they had to do? They had to plug in the power. I get it. There's wireless things everywhere, but still something powers it, whether it's a battery or what have you. But if you want to watch television this afternoon, you've got to plug into the power. If we want to grow the kingdom, then we must plug into the power. And that power is God above. So let's learn from him. Acts 2, beginning in verse 40. "And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" Boy, we could still preach that message. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods, divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church every single day," or daily, "those who were being saved." So how did they stay so devoted? How did they continue to devote themselves to loving the Lord your God with everything you've got and loving your neighbor as yourself? I think you heard it when we read through it. Well, I'm going to give you the formula. It's not the formula that I came up with. It's the formula they did. Here it is. Number one, if we want to get connected, then we've got to be convicted. Sadly, there's been a lot of messages preached throughout the last several years that just, hey, you're okay right where you are. No matter what you look like, no matter what you act like, no matter who you love, no matter who you date, no matter how you're acting on weeknights and weekends, man, you're just fine. Now, let me say from the outset that we're all sinners trying to get to heaven. And we're all washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, if we're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And my sins are forgiven just like you. And he didn't say only certain sins. He said all sins. So I'm not talking about a past. I'm talking about those people just living like they want. That's where we are. It's jungle free. I mean, we're in the jungles out there, right? Just do whatever you want to do. But then people go to worship and the guy saying or the woman saying or whoever it may be saying, hey, just be who you are. We call that feel-goodism, okay? Well, I want you to know, I want to come up here every week, and my desire would be to just make you feel good. But I've got to stand in judgment for the words I say. I've got to stand in judgment as a minister and now as an elder of this church. So I've got to be really, really devoted to the study of God's Word and devoted in my relationship with Him. What's changed in this world is a lack of conviction. We're not convicted like we used to be. And I'm not talking about those in this room. I'm talking about society in general. You know what they were in Acts 2? The reason they were connected is they were convicted. In fact, they interrupt Peter. I have no idea how much longer Peter was going to preach. But when he said, you killed Jesus, boy, their wheels started turning. And you know what they said in the middle of that sermon? Hey, what do we need to do? Stop right there. You know, man, we can't go any further. We are cut to the heart. That's conviction. They were convicted by their actions, but then they were convicted by the Word of God. The New King James says there, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. The ESV, you know what it says? Devoted. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. There must be a conviction to the Word of God. We must be convicted in our hearts, pricked in our hearts, and we must be devoted to this Word if we are going to be the church of the Bible. What's your passion right now? You know, a lot of people have passions. I like to call it identity. What's our identity? I hope that whatever our passion is outside of the church, that it comes a distant second, third, fourth, or fifth. Did you hear it said they had all things in common? We'll talk more about that. That means they didn't talk a lot about their sports teams. And again, I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm not. That just sounds like a bitter Auburn fan. Maybe I am. But I'm not saying that, okay? But listen, it didn't say in there they talked about all these things. They just got to work. They got to work. Tina's listening, and boy, I always get in trouble when I start bragging on Tina. But you know what she's convicted, right? She's convicted outdoor Bible. Go, you stick around and just watch. You know why she's listening right now? Because she's preparing food so that as they listen to the sermon and worship. She's multitasking, we call it. But that's the type of conviction we need from everyone. What's our passion? You see, when we are accountable, we must be convicted about being in the Father's Word. But they weren't just convicted. They were connected. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Number two, fellowship. What have we lost the last year? Fellowship. We've lost it. distracted, right? And again, I'm not saying that we shouldn't have lost it. I'm not. The wise things were put in place to keep the flock healthy physically. But if we're not careful, we can get sick spiritually. Fellowship is relationship driven. The definition, the Greek word is koinonia, which means community, communion, joint participation, and intimacy. Koinonia. There are 59 references to this phrase, one another, in the New Testament. Being in harmony with one another is vital to church growth. Verse 44, they were together, they had all things in common. That's koinonia. Verse 45, they helped those in need. They were together daily, they ate together, they spent quality intimate time together. It does not happen without them being connected and having proper fellowship. Someday this stuff's going to be lifted. And I want us to throw the biggest gathering we could ever throw here at Azalea City. With a lot of hugs, a lot of high fives, whatever we can. We need it, folks. We need that connection. But then thirdly, very similar, they understood the importance of communion. Bill said it earlier. You got my notes, didn't you? The center point of our worship every Sunday. You might wonder, why do we do that if you've been here a couple times and we've done it and you're not used to that? Why do we do it every Sunday? Well, they broke bread the first day of the week. There are at least 52 first days of the week. And so we do it every week. Why do we do it every week? Because it is so important. What did Jesus say? He said, this do in remembrance of me. The next time He's going to do it is with us and with Him in heaven. But when we do it, it's our communion with Him as we partake of His body and His blood. And it's our communion with one another. What did they do? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread. What an intimate time together as we have communion together. Remembering to turn our eyes upon Jesus. Whichever man has stood up here and done the ninth man, you all do a phenomenal job. But that time, their mission is to turn our eyes to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Again, it's the center point of our worship. And communion is a wonderful way for us to devote ourselves, grow closer to God and to one another. I know I'm going a little quick, but I think it all comes together. I've got one more point to make. And that point is this. You know what they did? To be able to be devoted and be the church, to have the relationship with God, to elevate that relationship, to elevate the relationship with one another, they communicated. Yeah, they communicated with one another, but they communicated with the Father. That's so important. Prayer is vital. Listen to it again. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That's convicted of the word. Fellowship. That is being together, right? That's being connected with one another. Breaking of bread. That's communion. And in prayers. They communicated. Prayer time is a quality, intimate time to spend with God the Father. What a connection. Imagine when they got together how often they prayed. Now we pray here too, and we've already had prayers this morning, and we are a church that believe in the power of prayer, and I'm so thankful because it works. But what do you think they prayed for? I don't know the answer to this, but maybe they prayed for church growth. Maybe they prayed for love to increase. Maybe they prayed that they'd be devoted and not distracted. Maybe they prayed for boldness. We know they did later on. Growth, love, devotion, boldness. Boy, we can still pray those prayers, can't we? And I believe we should continue to pray those prayers. You want to be connected to God? You want to be devoted to God? You want to be connected to one another, devoted to one another, not distracted? Then we need to stand tall on our knees. We need to be a people of prayer. As I close out this morning, I know the peace is there, but have you ever put a puzzle together and come down to one piece missing? I don't know that I ever have. I haven't put many puzzles together because I don't have the patience for it. But I'm going to tell you right now, I would have some anger sharks. If I got if I had 999 pieces of a 1,000-piece puzzle. Wouldn't it be terrible to get almost everything right and just miss that one piece? As we close out today, I want to ask you, how close are you? How close are we to being what God wants us to be? The rich young ruler, guess what? One thing. One piece. Could you imagine being that close and missing out? Today, are you one piece away? Are you one devoted moment away? Are you 99% and 1% missing of having your love? What's distracting you? What's keeping you from it? What's keeping you from walking this aisle? What's keeping you from being immersed in water? What's keeping you from being the church member God desires you to be? What's keeping you from placing your membership? What's keeping you from getting involved? Today, let's get rid of the distractions. Let's allow God to put that puzzle piece in. And let's do it right now together. We stand and sing.